Watching as clouds whip by, we confess everything to each other. Standing next to you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Venture Retired, the podcast where retired people share what they're doing in their retirement to help inspire you to live your best retired life. We are Kurt and Cindy Lilgedahl, your hosts. And today we're going to talk to a lady named Candy
Pacinius.
Pacinius. I had to look at that. Pacinius. Yeah, she said it was a German name.
Yeah.
Okay.
And her husband do raised gardens. And I don't mean by just you know,
off the ground. Like
off the ground.
R1 and R1.
Theirs are like 3 or 4 feet high.
Yeah, truly raised gardens.
Which for retired people, we're getting older, bending over, stuff like that is tougher.
Yeah, save the bag.
I'm excited to hear about it.
I am too. But first, a life lesson from Kurt's book, Fix the Problem and Other Life Lessons from a Pragmatic Dad. What do you got for us today?
This one is, I actually learned it from a student that I was teaching one time, and it's do the things you have to do now so you can do the things you want to do later.
Oh, I can just see this from the student's point of view. I've got to study now so that I can go out this weekend.
Well, yeah, or get your education now.
Oh, okay.
But it's called paying your dues. You know, chances are your first job right out of school, whatever school, won't be your dream job or like that. And it's going to be tough. But sometimes you got to suck it up, do what you got to do, work your way up.
Maybe work.
Get the skills.
Maybe work multiple jobs if that, you know, in terms of like some part-time gigs.
Yeah.
Because you got to pay the bills.
That goes for investing too. You got to pay the bills. Start early. You know, pull that money out of your check when you're young because when you get to be our age, it's compound interest and everything.
And that delayed gratification thing is really good.
It's huge. It's huge.
I think that's one thing that's missing a lot in the youth today, and it probably is our generation, the baby boomers who did that, was we did too much of the giving to our kids when they were young that everything is so easy now to put on a credit card.
We spoiled the little brats,
We did spoil our children, but they were not little brats. But I'm just saying it's good to have something to work for. I remember when we first got married, you know, we had nothing.
Yeah, we were poor.
You know, and just every time. And I remember when we built our first house, you know, we were, what, 6 years married?
Something like that.
It made it so wonderful.
Yeah.
Because we had waited and worked for it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get on with the show. Today we're talking to Candy Pacinius. I think I said that right. I hope I said that. Did I say that right, Candy?
Correct.
All right. Good. I know my German then.
Yeah.
And first of all, we always ask everybody, what did you do for a living before you started the good life of retirement?
I did nursing and all aspects of nursing for 41 years.
Oh, wow. That's
41.
Great.
41. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Nurses are like teachers, unappreciated, I think, a lot of times.
I think they get paid better than we did. I don't know.
It's
41
still,
years, that's a very noble career.
It's still a very hard job, though.
That's a long time. And how long have you been retired? You're totally retired, or do you do some part-time stuff?
What I do is like what we call PRN, which is as needed. And, you know, so I retired a year ago in January. And so I just completed my first year of retirement.
Good.
But then I went back to the hospital. When I finished the hospital, I was in community health and hospice. So they kind of had a job for me to come back and help out. And so PRN means is as needed. It's a Latin term. So it's basically I'll get a phone call and say, hey, can you help out this day, such and such. So that's considered PRN.
Oh, that's good.
So I do that.
Keeps you in the business, but yet you still have very flexible hours.
I do. And I can say yes or I can say no, and it works out just fine.
Have you found with the COVID thing that they've been calling you on a little bit more? Or I guess you retired about at the height of COVID, but...
Oh, yeah. That was a long, very long 12-hour days a year of COVID. So that was a very, very busy time. And thank goodness for Rick, my husband, because if I came home like at 7 o'clock, at least he had supper ready for us.
Oh,
so those were long days.
Oh yeah, for
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And where are you coming to us from?
Emmitsburg, Iowa.
Okay. So that's up there in the northwest part, kind of around us.
Yeah, well, cool. Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, I am so excited to talk to you today about your hobby because, you know, a lot of times we get all our interviews are all about places to go and things to see when you are in your retirement years. But so many people in retirement years pick up new hobbies or, you know, grow the hobbies they had, you know, earlier in their life. And I love your hobby.
Yeah. So, we're talking to you today about your raised gardens.
Yes.
Which
yes.
a lot of retired yeah. people do gardening, but I think you and Rick have kind of done it on steroids a little here. And can you tell us about kind of a quick overview of what a raised garden is?
Oh, well, a raised garden is basically off the ground. So you're not working and doing your gardening in the ground whatsoever. We started this 6 years ago because, well, I know you've heard, have met both Rick and I, and we're tall. Mm-hmm. So is our family. So he was going to have bilateral knee surgery done. So being a contractor, he decided, let's start with a raised garden. So it's off the ground, probably about close to 3 feet or a little bit over that. And then, so that was our first one that we did. And it really helped because our ground garden, it was like labor intensive, you know, trying to keep the weeds under control, getting down on your knees all the time. And you know, that was just very labor intensive. So with the raised gardens, he made the first one, and we basically went over to Dell's garden over at Spencer for a little class, and he happened to have different things. And so he had seen on, he did a display of like a rain gutter over at Dell's, and he put it on a building. And I, after the class, I talked to him and I said, you know, we have just built this raised garden. I said, I was thinking about the rain gutters because we had spares. What if we put it along the side of our raised garden? And he said, that's an excellent idea.
Oh, yeah.
So came home and I was telling my husband, Rick, about it. And one thing that Dale's garden had said is that you have to use, you know, your potting soil, but make sure it has no dirt derivative in it because it's not in the ground. It would pack it and there would be no aeration. And so your plants would just croak. They wouldn't, you know, mm-hmm. they wouldn't grow because they couldn't expand. So we had already bought like 14 bags of potting soil. So I rushed home and I'm talking to Rick, and we went out and looked, and thank goodness we had the right potting soil.
So
thank goodness.
That's just in the gutter part that you have to have the potting soil. The whole raised garden itself, can that be a different type of soil? I mean, can it be just regular soil that you've moved out of a field?
No. All our raised gardens have potting soil in them.
Okay.
Including the rain gutter that we attached. And so, it all has potting soil in it with no dirt derivative. And then every year we kind of till it with our hands, you know, and our garden tools, kind of move the soil around. We add more potting soil. And then Rick also puts kind of like a fertilizer into the potting soil too. So it has been very productive. We don't have weeds, which is really nice.
Yeah.
We don't have to bend over. You know, we don't have to, you know, get down on our hands and knees and stuff. And it's high enough that we are just standing there and we can just pick our garden and plants and veggies.
Well, that's a huge advantage.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing about it is that you have to water it more often because it is potting soil. And if you worked with potting soil, it dries out very quickly. So we do water more than what you would with a ground garden.
Okay.
But, you know, the benefit of it is that you don't have to bend over. You don't have to have the weeds. And the maintenance of it is just phenomenal. It's so low, you know, low maintenance.
Yeah. Right. Okay, let me get a
picture.
Try and give a picture to people what this is like. Because we have what we call a raised garden, but basically I took 2 by 12s and put them in a big rectangle and filled it full of dirt and potting soil. And so it's, you know, it's up about, I don't know.
Maybe a foot.
Yeah, a foot off the ground. Yours are up 3 to 4 feet, I'm assuming. So I picture in my head a feed bunker that we had for cattle when we were growing up. Is that
perfect? And we tried to find some with farmers and stuff like that, and basically it was very difficult. So that's why we built our own. But we did not use treated lumber. We just used fir wood.
Okay.
And Rick had 6 2x10s. And so 3 are on the bottom. And then the other 3 he used for the sides. And I know, Kurt, I sent you pictures of our garden.
Right. We'll post those.
Basically, we used 4x4s for, you know, the corners. And that's for the legs and stuff that they're, yeah, they're standing on. And then we also put blocks that they're sitting on top of, cinder blocks, you know, because we wanted them higher.
Okay.
Because we're tall.
Yeah.
And so they're only like maybe 3 feet tall, but basically that was long, and they're very beneficial for us. And we used screws to make sure that they were hardy.
Oh, yeah.
And stayed put together, and they're 12 to 14 feet long.
Okay. So how deep are they?
Well, the size of a 2x10, you're looking at 2 feet,
okay,
you know, basically.
Which is why you can only use the potting soil. Now I'm getting an idea, because ours are on,
yeah,
the ground, and we added dirt just to the top of the ground. But if you have a bottom, there is no place for that plant to have its root grow. And so that's why you had to go the potting soil, correct?
Correct. And, you know, you didn't want to use dirt anyway because it would pack. It's up above the ground, so there's no, you know, nature is not, you know, helping with the water drainage,
okay,
and,
oh, yeah,
all that kind of stuff. So the raised, okay, garden has to have potting soil, because you would not want to have dirt whatsoever, because it would pack in there and you would never have any,
okay,
you know,
this
plant
is
growing.
Kind of a weird question, but would it be advantageous to the plants to get a bunch of earthworms and throw them in there?
I suppose you could. I don't know if they would live,
yeah,
very long in potting
either.
Soil, because where's the moisture? Yeah, I don't know, because you'd have to keep watering them. So once you build the bunk, you also have to put that black garden paper, you know, so that's breathable too. So you put that all along the bottom and up on the sides of your bunk before,
okay,
you put,
all right,
the potting soil in.
And that way, when you do water, because you water it quite a bit, it can flow down. Do you drill,
right,
holes in the bottom, or is the wood good enough that it'll leak between the boards?
Yeah, it'll leak. Very rare does it leak through that much, you know. So that's why you have to water so much and stuff. But the black garden paper helps with aeration. You know, there's still air coming up underneath the potting soil or the planter, so that, you know, there is air. I mean, cold air, warm air, whatever, is still coming up underneath there too. We found that out because the last 2 springs we planted too soon, and then, uh-huh, we had a frost. And so over by our, the west side of our property is where the wind, there's no barriers. So the wind kind of took out, and frost kind of came up underneath the potting planters. And so we had to replot our peas,
right,
and, you know, they're kind of fragile anyway. And our strawberries kind of took a hit too. So that's because we planted too soon. You know, nature kind of had a couple frosts early in the spring, so that cold air kind of took out some of our plants. So then we had to repot. So this next summer, we're going to try to maybe,
yeah,
not be so anxious.
That's
to
so
get
hard,
our,
though.
Our
I even do
in.
That with, you know, just my regular plants and my potted plants that I want to put in my pots, or even in the, you know, all around for decoration. You want those beautiful flowers the first week they come out, and it's like, oh.
I can see where that, you know, it would be a problem. You know, if frost hits early and it nips the plant, that's one thing. But being raised, you're right, underneath could get the roots, and that would definitely kill them. I guess that would be one of the disadvantages.
Yeah.
Does wind affect it quite a bit, being higher, or about the same?
It does. The other thing is that when we planted this spring, you know, there was some high winds and stuff like that. And so with the potting soil, it's kind of, it doesn't pack,
right,
like dirt would. And so we use the pea pods, you know, we just use that string of the peas where you just lay it underneath the ground and the, or on underneath the dirt there and cover it up. Well, the wind came by and it blew the top part of the potting soil off. And so it blew away some of our pea pod strings that, you know, you can get from the, do you know what I mean when I talk about that? You get them in a package and it's all webbing string or little ribbon that you plant.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was one of the other things too, because of the wind, you don't plant the pea pods very deep. And so that top layer of potting soil kind of blew off with the high winds because there's no wind protection over there. And then we had to repot another ribbon of the pea pods.
Okay.
What do you put in the gutters?
What kind of plant?
Oh, we put onion sets.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Because we don't like the big onions. We just like, well, I don't like the onions, but my family does, is the little onion sets. And so that's all that we put in the rain gutters.
Okay. And do you have rain gutters on almost all of your on all of your beds?
Raised gardens.
Just a couple of them.
Okay.
Two of them.
Don't need too many.
Well, I would think you could almost put some flowers in those too. You know, some little flower seeds, and that would just decorate them.
Oh Lord.
Oh yeah. Very much
I love
so.
Flowers.
Oh God, yeah.
With potting soil in there, have you ever had a problem with, like in Iowa, getting just a toad strangler of a rain, and it washing the potting soil out, since it doesn't do the compaction of regular soil? Have you ever had a problem where the rain just drives the dirt out of the bunker, so to speak?
No.
Okay.
No. And we put the potting soil level with the top of the planter, but we, you know, it's not like heaped up over, you know, so
that
it's not like a mound or anything.
Okay.
How many of the raised gardens do you have now?
We have five.
Okay. Oh, and do you place them like pretty close together, or like so there's just a pathway between them, or are they spaced out more?
Well, the first one that we did, we put it on our house property. So it's right on the edge of our lawn between my husband has a construction shed just west of our place. And so we put the first one on our house lawn, and then the four we put just south of our shed. So there is where you can put a mower through there too if you have to. So there is so we can go you know, in between all four of them with no problem.
Yeah
because you're not going to move these things once you put all that potting soil in there, are you?
No, we tried to with the first one, thinking, hey, we'll move it over to the property where the shed is, and we couldn't budget.
Yeah.
Without emptying the
heavy.
Yeah. So we just left it there.
Forklift.
Yeah.
Forklift.
Don't
Well, he tried that with a skid loader. It didn't move.
That's true.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Rick, being a construction guy, he probably does these things out of his head. But did you use plans, or did you find plans online, or the ones
we had? No, we did not. We just did our own thing. And, you know, we just made them. And then we did buy one from the lumber yard. So, and then the rest of the three after that we built ourselves. So other than that, it's very expensive. I mean, it's unless you want a smaller one and stuff like that. And right now with lumber being so expensive, it's an added expense, but it's, the
saves
reward is wonderful. It saves your back.
Saves all those trips to the chiropractor.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And it's so much fun. I have to tell you a story. The first time we did the first one, my mother-in-law came out, and we had a supper that night, and I had the first picking from the garden. So we had lettuce, and we had carrots, and we had onions in our salad. I said we only had enough beets so that we could, the three of us could only have three slices or five slices of beets, two scoopings of of cream peas, and we could only have 5 green beans. And so we're eating. It tasted so good. And I said, whatever you do, guys, I said, this is our limitation. This is our first picking for this the summer. So we're eating away. And I said to my mother-in-law, who is, you know, in her 80s and stuff, and I said, hey, Grandma, was this like this for the Depression? And she laughed so hard. She goes, yeah, but this is so much fun. We're having a blast eating. And I just laughed so hard. I thought, this is so cool, because it was fun.
Oh, yeah. So when you're planning these, Candy, do you have a system? Because that's where I have found is my problem is I'll put a row of basil, and I'll put a row of cilantro, and I'll put a row of something else in mine. And something grows really, really well. Something doesn't grow at all.
Shades
and something's
out.
Too tall. How did you come up with a system of what to plant where?
Well, of course, with the rain gutters, we just put the onion sets in there. We have one bunk that we do all peas, and we have another bunk that we do all green beans, because there's never enough peas ever. But so those are my two favorites.
I love peas. I do,
but
too,
they never last long enough.
No.
And then we have one bunk that we put tomato plants in, and then basically what we do is we put like the carrots on the outer perimeter in one bunk. Then we'll put like cabbage and broccoli in the center. Lettuce is at one end. And then we have another bunk that we do cucumbers and peppers and like squash, you know, because they have to, you know, like the peppers are plants, of course, but the cucumbers need room to spread out, and so does the squash.
Do they fall over the side? And
they do.
Like grow in the air and do they get down to the ground or?
They don't. You know, I just kind of keep moving them around into the planter. So some of them kind of lean over a little bit, but on all of our planters, we have a ledge that Rick built. So the ledge is really kind of nice because it's like a shelf that you can take your bowl out and your tools out, and you can set that on there, and then you can, you know, kind of just sit there with your bowl and pick your stuff that you need. And then you have that little ledge or that little shelf there for, you know, to use and utilize. Yeah. And it was kind of fun because my grandmother or my mother-in-law was very short. And so the funny part about it is that she could come up to that ledge and then she could pick around the edges. And then if she needed something in the middle, then we had to help her with it and stuff. But yeah, that was funny.
One of the advantages I'm thinking, because we get rabbits in ours, you probably don't have to put up a fence around yours. Unless, I don't know, do you have deer there or something? But
well, the first year, the rabbits were so funny because they would sit underneath that first bunk and just like look up there going, could you drop me something? You know, if we were getting done with like, you know, if we were done with like a cabbage leaf or something like that, we would throw it down on the ground and then it would be kind of like composting, but the rabbits could get it that way. We don't have problems with deer because where we live, it's a very busy highway and a gravel road with trucks going by all the time. Okay. And so the deer, if they see it, they don't stop. So I mean, if they did, they would have it right up to their nose that they could just belly
like
up to the table.
Buffet.
When we had our ground garden, we tried every fence possible and the deer would just have a smorgasbord. We could not keep them away.
That's funny. Wow. You know, I'm thinking it's got to be wonderful, too, because you have all of those plants there and they're separated enough that you don't have you don't have to reach over a lot of things to get to something in the middle. You know what I mean? That's ready, and then you can kind of plan it so that, okay, some things come up earlier than others, so that can be one garden itself.
And especially like with the peas, you know, like if you get them planted and you harvest them or whatever, you can, if you have enough time in the summer, you can repot that planter again and have another picking of peas too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Man, this year, just our little raised one, we planted tomatoes in, and I always overplant. I put too many plants in there, but you can't, not plant them if you have them. You know, you want to use them. And I mean, I had tomatoes until, well, I think it was the end of September, first of October. They just kept producing.
Which brings me to the next question. Do you can your crops?
I do. I do tomatoes, beets, green beans, cucumbers. Of course, you can make pickles. So when I was younger, I always helped my mom with canning and stuff. And then when we first got married, we did a lot of canning, my mom and I. And then when she passed, I kind of, you know, got busy and I didn't always do it and stuff. So after we started with our gardens again, it was kind of fun to get back into canning. So mom and I always did tomatoes and peaches, but it was kind of fun to get recipes out and make pickles and canned beets and green beans. And yeah, so get to learn new things.
I enjoy it. I call it a hobby too, because I never canned at all when we lived in the 30 years in Texas. And since we've been up here in Iowa now, I've every year, and Kurt helps me, and I just, it's, we have fun doing it.
It's, you know, like on a cold day and you can pull out a fresh can of tomatoes or, you know,
a
whatever,
or
pears,
or yeah. Home.
We do applesauce, and
it's,
we hope to get into
delicious
peaches one of these days.
Yeah.
But
did you have problems this last year finding canning supplies because of the COVID?
I know, but I sent my husband out on a mission, so he went looking for them. And then I had a friend that gave me some jars too. But yeah, oh my gosh, the first year that I tried to do pickles, this was 6 years ago when we first started with our container garden, was trying to find dill for dill pickles.
Oh, okay.
And so then I have this antique wash tub. And so we put our herbs in there. And so then I started planting dill because it was like, okay, I don't need very much, but you know, you couldn't find it in the store. It was like gone. Everybody was canning that year. And so, yeah, so I do my herbs in my wash tub.
Oh, that's
a good
cute
idea. Yeah, that's cute too.
Yeah, I thought dill was a weed. I mean,
no,
my
it's
mom's
not
house.
A weed.
My mom's house, it grows up like a weed.
Yeah, that's because she let it get away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're getting near the end. This has been some great information, and I can tell, I don't know, I might have to.
I think we need another one,
yeah, I know,
too.
But I like the idea of being up higher.
I do too.
You know,
I do too.
We get in ours, and you're reaching in the middle, and you almost, you know, like fall over into it. So I'm liking this, but got to put my carpentry skills together. Okay, we always ask two questions at the end. Our hell no moment, which is the worst thing that you've had with your raised gardens, and your you betcha. So we'll start with the hell no. Can you think of one?
Let's see.
Maybe the
cost.
I was going to say maybe
it's the
cost.
The only thing is that making sure you, well, the cost is one thing. Thank goodness I had a contractor that could build them. That was one
thing.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't have to pay labor. And, you know, you have to look for bargains as far as with wood and stuff. And like I said, right now would be horrendous during COVID and stuff. Wood is starting to come down, but that's an expense. And then, you know, making sure that you stay on top of it and water often. Otherwise, you'll lose your crop.
Right.
This is just a quick question, but have you ever had something that you planted that was a total wash, or after you planted it and raised it for the first time, you thought, I'm not planting that again?
No, not really.
Well, that's good. Okay.
See, mine would be every vegetable.
Yeah, yours would be everything but tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's why he gives me so much grief about it, how that I want to do these things, because he's like, I don't like broccoli. I'm like, I do. I don't like cucumbers. I do. I don't like peas. I do. You know, it's like, I do matter too.
I'm not a veggie guy. What can I say?
But you know what I find out is when you get older, though, you start trying different things. Like, I never ate beets when I was younger. And then now we love them. You know,
No.
Never
he's
ate kale.
Cringing here.
Now we're eating kale.
Yeah. No, I'm just. Okay, we're going back to the cost. You know, yes, it's expensive to build this and everything and buy all the potting soil. But think about these guys who have the $50,000 boats and they go fishing, what that little fillet costs them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a
how
hobby.
True.
It's a hobby. You derive joy from it, you know.
And you get benefits from it.
You do.
You know?
You
okay.
Do.
So what's your you betcha? What's the best part of having these raised gardens other than the wonderful food that it produces? Is there anything else?
you just feel like, you know, it's so much fun. The fact is that, you know, that you are like, you know, making food and producing, and then you have food on the table. I know. And then you can also, you know, try different recipes and stuff. And the fact that I said I never ate kale or beets, we're trying different things and new recipes, and to get back into canning reminds me of my mom and what we did together. So, you know, those are our little treasures. And now I'm in garden club. So see, that was so exciting.
There you go.
Have you ever had a raised garden that's just full of flowers?
I have not. Cause then when we first moved out here 16 years ago, we had all this almost two acres of land. So I had the chance to do flowers. So I started out with like 14 flower gardens around
our
property. So, you know, I'm starting, as you get older, you kind of cut back because then you got to weed them. I have, you know, gardens with flowers and that type of stuff, but I've never done a raised garden with it.
Yeah. There's nothing that brings me more joy than going out and cutting my own fresh flowers for the table. You know, I think it's so much fun.
And it's a heck of a lot cheaper than me buying them at the grocery store.
He does do that once in a while. Yeah. But I do love any kind of vegetable that comes. You said cream peas, and oh my gosh, I cannot remember the last time I had cream peas with carrots and onions, and oh, that was like that. No, quit it. That is like one of my favorite things ever.
I cannot imagine what recipe you could do beets with that would make me. My mom used to make me eat that stuff when I was little, and oh my God, I still
don't
have
listen
PTSD
to him, Candy.
He's
had a bad view about gardening in a long time.
I like gardening. I just don't like veggies.
You are such a hypocrite.
You like gardening, you just don't want to eat it, though.
That's right. I know. Come on.
It's a hobby, yeah.
Oh, hey, we really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Candy.
You bet.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that wraps up another adventure.
Oh, thank you, Candy. That was great.
And it was a hobby. I'm happy that we did a hobby. We've done genealogy and some other ones.
But hobbies are great, and retired people have time for hobbies.
Retired people do a lot more hobbies in retirement than they do traveling. So while it's not the adventure of climbing a mountain or doing something like that, it's a great adventure to do and keep you moving and engaged in life.
And this hobby, I mean, you know, I've seen, because we also volunteer at the food bank, this hobby allows you to volunteer too, because you grow things you don't want, you can donate them, you can give them away, you know, and that's a wonderful thing.
But yeah, I definitely see the advantage of those raised ones.
Oh yeah.
Bending over, staying off your knees and stuff.
Just saves the back.
Yeah, and the bunnies. Keep the bunnies out of there.
All right.
We want to thank y'all for joining us. We hope you learned something.
We did.
Yeah. You can reach us at AdventureRetired.com, or you can email us at AdventureRetired@gmail.com.
We have a Facebook page and Instagram.
And all that. We appreciate you guys joining us. We don't say it often enough, but if you could, go out there and like subscribe to us at Apple Podcast or Spotify or whatever like that.
Give us a 4-star.
5-star would be nice.
I always think that. I don't ever do that.
Do not give a 4-star.
A 5-star. Rating would be great.
That would explain all those 4-stars.
I know. We don't have any, so that's okay.
I know. But thank y'all for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I love you, Cindy.
I love you more. And that's the kids that loved you. Yeah, that's the kids that loved you.